Very thankful to be with you this morning. Got lots of visitors, a lot of new folks today. Appreciate you being here. We started lesson one last week. We want to continue it today. We're doing a quarter study on the covenants of God. And as I mentioned last week, the reason why I'm doing this study, I have found in church history oftentimes topics that once were well taught and understood, all you have to do is neglect it sometimes for even a few years and it has never been taught. And I'm finding today within the church there are those beginning to question issues such as the difference between the Old and New Testament, questions regarding covenants. A lot of things that once were taught on are being neglected, and you're beginning to see fruits of that even with the change of worship, with the addition of instrumental music and other things. And the core mistake oftentimes is made in failing to understand the difference in the covenants of God. So last week we started off with this point, and we'll continue to make it today. It is a blessing to have a covenant with God. It is a privilege. You will experience in a covenant with God, as we meet the conditions of any given covenant, you'll have a relationship with God. His faithfulness, His holiness, His care. He will change you. He will mold you. He will work with you. And that simply will be true in any covenant that one has with God. We had morning, I think every day. And so as we talk about those concepts, we looked at several covenants last week, and we talked about in every one of these covenants that God made that His character was found in it. There was blessings found in it. One of the covenants we looked at, it was Genesis 9, where God made a covenant with Noah. And I guess we can just go back as a review, go back to Genesis 9, and we look at this in, let me go back a little further, sorry about this. In Genesis 9, basically God told Noah that He was going to destroy the earth. And in that, He was going to give Noah a covenant. And that covenant, as we studied last week, was one that Noah had to have. It was crucial for him before he entered into this harrowing experience and where his entire life was going to be changed, where he was going to come out of a destroyed world and start over. And the horrors of that and the challenges of that. And one of the things we see early on here in verse 9, he says, "As for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you." And we've even talked about in this beginning covenant that the nature of God is found in it. God's wrath against sin. God's care for the faithful. We talked about how God will always keep His word and that sustained Noah. And that was a covenant made, and there was a sign of a covenant for all men. And that was the rainbow and the cloud. And so as we see the rainbow and the cloud, to this day that's a sign that God, a covenant God not only made with Noah and mankind, but with the creation. Never will there be a flood like this again. And so again, we learn about the character of God. And then we went on, again, I'm going to kind of move ahead. We studied this last week. We introduced the idea of the covenant made with Abraham. Very, very important covenant. Again, as a review, we talked about there were three promises made to Abraham. One, that he was going to have a great nation come from his descendants. Two, that nation would inherit the land. And then three, through his descendants, all the families of the earth would be blessed. This is a huge covenant. It is massive in terms of its implications to us. And we will talk about even today, the rest of the Bible, including what we have in our covenant with Christ, comes from this initial covenant made with Abraham. We see the rest of the Bible that is written to show who these people were and the land they took and how God worked with them and how Christ eventually came. And so we pointed out, and again, this is where we stopped in our discussion last week. And let me just go ahead, you've got an outline. Before we go further, I want to just ask some of these questions that I have on page 2 and have a little discussion, and then we're going to continue to talk about the covenant today with Abraham. What is a covenant? covenant, an agreement. And oftentimes we think of it in terms of some kind of contract. I'll never forget when I was part of Bob's house in Lincoln, Nebraska, they had a neighborhood association, and there were covenants relating to the neighborhood association. And I wanted to put it something like this. Covenant wouldn't let me do that. And I was foolish enough to go to a meeting to ask a question, and they ended up making me an officer, and they ended up doing a lot of work. So I learned some things from that of, you know, being careful about obligations and so on. But anyhow, but we know about covenants. Now, with God, this is important. When you have a covenant with God, it's unilateral. In other words, here it is. God can impose a covenant upon people. God can make a covenant that has no conditions whatsoever. By the way, in the case of the covenant made concerning the flood, what conditions does man have to meet for God to cause the earth to flood? There's no condition. It's a unilateral covenant where God says, basically, I'm not going to do this. Now, we do find in the case of Abraham, we're going to find a covenant that is made, and all the descendants of Abraham under that covenant, whether they agree to it or not agree to it, now they can live in such a way, and we're going to talk about the sign of the covenant, they can live in such a way as to be excluded and be put out from among the people. But a covenant is that which God gives, and you've got a privilege when you have a covenant. It's a blessing. Second question. Why do men need a covenant with God? Again, I've already stated it, but you tell me in your words. Why do we need a covenant with God? The covenant is something that defines relationship. Why do we need a relationship with God?
There needs to be rules. There needs to be forgiveness.
We need help. We need direction. We need to get with God. For this life without God, not a life of prayer. It's a terrible life. And so every one of us today need to understand the nature of the covenant that we have with God. And we need to make sure that we are abiding in it and having the blessings from God. What false concepts, number three, do men have concerning the covenants of God? What do people think falsely when they hear the word covenant? There's a lot of wrong ideas people have. Some of the wrong ideas.
Yeah.
They think of no responsibilities. Or if they do recognize it having responsibilities, what's the wrong attitude that some people have toward those responsibilities?
What's that?
Yeah, well, they have to study it. That's true. And of course, a good heart, I think, can understand God's covenant. Some people don't have a reverence for God and His covenant, and as a result, they take it as life. Now, I do believe that we can have sincere disagreements. But as you mentioned, the way it's stated, that's stated there, oftentimes a person really doesn't want to keep it, and therefore they use interpretation as a way that, well, you know, I do what I want, and you do what you want. In a way, some people may say that. There's a place for talking about what the covenant means, but we take it seriously. A lot of people don't take it seriously. They think, well, about God's grace and any conditions really are not that important. On the other hand, somebody might say some of the things that I'm saying to you right now is legalism. Have you heard that? Oh, you're being legalistic. Well, no. Whatever covenant God has with me, He wants to bless me. Whatever conditions He gives me, it's going to be something that I can follow in such a way as to be blessed. Both in Old and New Testament. God never required, how can I put it, a perfect law keeping in order to be right with Him. That has never been the case. We have provisions in God's covenant when we fall short to be forgiven. But don't make the mistake that a covenant with God causes us not to have any responsibilities at all. I'm going to tell you what. You have a relationship with God as He wants you to have a relationship with Him. In fact, the only way you can have a relationship with Him, you're going to learn about His nature, and you and I, for the rest of our lives, are going to be changed. And if we're not being challenged in that way, we might not have the right attitude toward God's covenant. Yes?
Do you
for my good all. Yes. So if we have an idea that the covenant is unbearable and we can't do it, and we're thinking in that way, how God gave it, not how man has, we're missing something. The covenant that God gave with His people was the very best thing for His people. And so, I think we've covered enough. Let's go ahead into Abraham now. Let's talk about this. The covenant was made, and initially it's a covenant that I'm going to bless you. And remember what Abraham's conditions was in the covenant. Remember, let's look at this. We've talked about this. Was this covenant for Abraham, in order for Abraham to enjoy this covenant, were there any conditions made for Abraham? What were
they?
Had to walk by faith. What's his first steps he had to take? Had to
read
the song. And he basically would give him kind of a brochure about the land he's going to go to and the amenities and all that stuff. Did he know where he was going? Hebrew letter says he didn't know. God said so. Have you imagined what it would be like right now in your life? Now, some of you may think this happens to me all the time, so this may not be perfect in this question here, but could you imagine right now you being picked up from where you're at, all your relationships, and go to a place and never see your friends again, never see your family again, and go and change everything? That the challenge of Abraham to leave his land was a threat. It was like, now, this covenant, all Abraham did was to leave and go, and that was the only obligations of this covenant, right? Let me show you something about the covenant. When you see this, you see this in the Mosaic covenant as well. When God makes a covenant, you have the initial revelation of the covenant, but it's all of the, how can I say it, the duties, the conditions of that covenant are oftentimes revealed later. There was another condition of this covenant revealed later. It was not revealed to Abraham in Genesis 12. And that additionally required a bodily sign of the covenant. Look at Genesis 17. Here's the covenant. Abraham had this much revealed to him, and he goes into the land. He's living in the land as a pilgrim, and then God does this. This is my covenant, which you shall keep, between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. One of the things you'll see about the covenants with God, there's several things. First off, if it's a relationship with God, you're going to find that you got to learn about God, and it's going to change you morally and other ways. It's just going to do that, and we'll see that with Abraham and his descendants. But also, God may later reveal an element of the covenant that he didn't reveal initially. Abraham had already obeyed God and responded to God, and then he was given the sign of the covenant at circumcision. And he basically goes to talk about how you need to circumcise your children. This is going to be done through all of your descendants, verse 13. He was born in your house, and he was brought with your money, must be circumcised. My covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And he goes on to say, the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of the foreskin, that person should be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. We have the covenant. We have the sign of covenant. A covenant is a privilege, but here we find God has rules. Yeah, privilege. It's something that, and you say, well, this wouldn't be hard to keep, would it? I mean, I'm talking about, not talking about the physical aspect of circumcising a child, but I'm talking about, well, okay, yeah, let's have the son. What happens if somebody says, you know what, it's my interpretation, let's not do this. What does this verse say happens to that person that refuses to be circumcised? They're not going to be part of the people of God. Can you think of some great people of God who had some struggles with circumcision? Remember Moses? Moses at one point had delayed in circumcising one of his children. And wrecked God. came very nearly to coming down and having serious consequences to Moses. And so as we look at this, I'm just saying, covenant is a privilege. Here is something somebody say, well, this is insignificant. It's a sign. It's not that important. How we handle His Word is so critical. I want to be careful in the revelation of God's covenants. And so again, as we talk about this particular covenant, Genesis 15, what God wanted from Abraham is to walk by faith. Now, understand this. The justification, the relationship that Abraham had with God, is the same basis of our relationship with God today. Not that we have the same conditions, but that God wants those under His covenant to be humble, to walk by faith, to let that faith lead them to repentance. In Genesis 15, God says, before Abraham had any children, I'm going to take your descendants, and I'm going to make them as the stars of the heaven. Genesis 15, 5. Then He brought him outside and said, look now toward the heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And He said to them, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Romans 4 quotes this as the kind of faith we should have for our justification. A different covenant. We have the full blood of Christ and the privileges of the blood of Christ under the new covenant. But what God has always expected of those under the covenant is to learn how to trust God, to come to understand who God is. The fulfillment of the promise to Abraham is why the Bible is written the way it is. Matthew 1:1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. You later see in Matthew 1:17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David to the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon to the Christ are 14 generations. In other words, the fulfillment of this covenant to Abraham resulted in Christ. And is why the Bible is written the way it is and why we understand the purpose of God. Let me throw something out at you. Again, I know I'm lecturing a little bit, but we need to, I think, move along in the material. Life has been no more than one more class on this material. What would happen if Abraham's descendants became faithful? God made a covenant. The covenant was not just with Abraham, but his descendants. And you know, as you study church history, you know, as you study sociology, you got, you know, people having children and children having children, and God's people have not done a very good job of instilling faith in their children. What would happen if Abraham's descendants became unfaithful? God's going to be faithful. And you never found all of Abraham's descendants being faithful. There was always a remnant. There were always some. And the beautiful thing here is we get this, by the way, we can get very disillusioned at our brother. We can become very discouraged by those who are already walking in the ways of God and seeing them go different paths. And sometimes you may want to think maybe it's over. You don't study church history very well if you think that's not, can't be true today, that we could be in a period where many people are being unfaithful. But even if many are, God's faithful. Deuteronomy 9:4 says, do not think in your heart after the Lord God has cast him out before you, here's the taking of the promised land, saying, because of my righteousness the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. But it's because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out from you. It is not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart that you go in to possess the land, but because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God drives them out from before you. And I notice this. And that he might fulfill the word which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Be thankful you have a covenant. Our God will be faithful. We will receive blessings we don't deserve. And it all comes. Here they're about to receive this possession. He says, hey guys, you're not where you need to be spiritually. You're not some great people getting it all right and walking with God as you want. The people that were taking that land had serious issues, and they needed to be humbled. The blessings of God should humble them. But to understand that in this case, God's being faithful to the promise He made to Abraham. And you've got a way to go in terms of knowing God. He goes on to say this about him, verse 6. Therefore, understand the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness, for you're a stiff-necked people. Another lesson about a covenant of God. Be humble. Let's be teachable. Let us not be arrogant. Let's not try to pat ourselves on the back. I've been a member of the church for years, or I've accomplished so many generations of being in the church. All those things can be fine. But it doesn't help us one whit if we're stubborn and indifferent and half-hearted. Important lessons to learn. Now, we have dealt with these questions. And then there's a couple of them we didn't answer. And let's do this one. Six. Let's do this one. Think about it. Again, God may not have always told us all the whys here, but I'm going to throw this out at you anyway. Why did God command the sign of circumcision? Let's first take that word sign. Biblically, when you see the word sign, what does that mean? Have you ever gone down the road and seen a sign that said sign? I have, yeah. What's a sign do? Yeah, it points you to something. Information. In this case, the sign of the covenant. Let's say you've got a male child born and you're going to circumcise that child day to day. What should you be thinking if you're thinking? Remembrance of what? The covenant, the promise. I need God. My child needs God. I'm privileged. And the Jews were privileged. Tremendous privilege to have a relationship with God. They had the oracles of God. They had the morality that would come out of one serving God. They had all kinds of wonderful privileges. My brother, if we ever become indifferent, how could the relationship we have with God? And that's what it ought to have been. Now, what was the wrong conclusion that you drew side cut? And you got that in the New Testament. Why did Jesus think, I'm circumcised, therefore? Huh? Yeah, I'm saved. God is going to rubber stamp everything I do. I'm the people of God. I've got the sign of circumcision. And of course, you know what happened in Romans 2. The Gentiles who actually try to seek God and try to take the law as it's been revealed versus the Jew who is hard-hearted and they're not, their heart is hard. And he goes, the Gentiles really are acting as if they're circumcised. And the Jews are acting as if the Gentiles are acting as if they're circumcised and the Jews are acting as if they're uncircumcised. The sign ought to mean a reality behind it. Yes. Yeah, so much to learn here. So many great points. Okay, one more question and then we'll get to the next section. How did this covenant later bless Israel even after their unfaithfulness? You know, you think about this. Let's talk about what were some of the occasions of Israel's unfaithfulness?
And we don't have enough time to listen to it. What was one of the great consequences of Israel's unfaithfulness? Think about where really it got really bad. What was the culmination of their initial period of unfaithfulness? Why did it culminate in? Destruction of Jerusalem, destruction of the temple, taken into Babylonian captivity. if they did not have a covenant with God, you would have never heard of Israel again. They would have been wiped out in terms of the annals of history as far as you know. But God's covenant with Abraham involved all his descendants until we had the Christ that would come. And so guess what? Look at this passage here. Psalms 106, and you know, here's kind of remembering. Listen, guys. Covenant is a great thing. Sign of covenant is a great thing. But just understand, you honey, walk by faith. It says, many times, Psalms 106:43, he delivered them, but they rebelled in their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. Now look at verse 45. And for their sake, he remembered his covenant and relented according to the multitude of his mercies. God's covenant with us connects him to us that even when we are unfaithful, we have a way back. And I believe God in his providential care will try to do things to humble us and knock us down so our heart may come back. Be thankful for that covenant. By the way, all men have covenants. We'll talk about that when we get into the New Testament. I'm jumping ahead. And so we get another covenant that comes up. When we talk about the Abrahamic covenant, there's another one that is made, and it's made through Moses. Who was the covenant that Abraham made with? Of course, I just stated it in my, the covenant was made with Abraham and his descendants. The covenant made here with Moses is in a sense the same group, but it's really after they become a nation. Exodus 2:24, as we're seeing the approach of Mount Sinai and the revelation of God's law, the Ten Commandments and the law associated with that. He says, so God heard their groaning and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. Here's Israel is in Egypt. They're moaning, they're groaning, they're wanting deliverance. They're about to be born as a nation. God calls them out. They go to Mount Sinai. And then you see in Exodus 32:11, you see that God delivered them in order to give them, to enter into a covenant relationship with them and to test them. Verse 11 says, and Moses pleaded the Lord, his God said, Lord, does your wrath burn hot against the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Exodus 19:3, a national covenant. Let's read this. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, to tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Notice he's talking about bringing them out of Egypt. Now therefore, if you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and holy nations. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Let's just stop here just for a moment. Moses. We have Mount Sinai coming, and he's preparing them for Mount Sinai. On Mount Sinai, you're going to hear the Ten Commandments given. But let me tell you, when you're thinking of a covenant, let's try to get this in our minds this morning. When you're thinking of a covenant, think relationship. And we're talking about a covenant with God, think about the nature of God. And again, the nature of God. What do you think about when you think of the nature of God? Just right off the top of your head. God is what? He is holy. What else? He's love. He's merciful. It's just like what he says on Mount Sinai. He says, I'm a God that's merciful and gracious and forgiving, but I'll hold people accountable for sin. The guilty will not escape, without dealing with that. And so now notice here. He's preparing a people for a covenant, and the essence of that preparation is teaching them about the nature of God. Let's just go back. Notice, he talks about God's power, verse 4.
verse 5, he talks about he's going to deliver words of covenant. But now notice why, in the latter part of verse 5. Why is God giving them a covenant? What does it say? Why does God want those people to be to him? A treasure. When they saw the word covenant, they should see this like someone would, let's say, a wedding ring that would remind you of the covenant of your marriage. And here, there was one that wanted to have me, and me be hers, and she be mine. I think of that, and I say, well, I'm so thankful. I don't deserve that. When you look at the covenant is it's pointing out to God, God's to you that I want you. I want to be my people. Now notice, dealing with the nature of God. What kind of nation are you going to be if you have a covenant with God? According to verse 6. You're going to be a holy people. And so there are going to be things learned. There's going to be instructions given. And that's what we're going to see from here on out, is that the people are going to have to learn a lot of things. Now notice, even in verse 10, as getting ready to come before Mount Sinai, getting ready to hear this law, what do the people have to do according to verse 10? I have it underlined. What do they have to do? Wash their clothes. Now, you know, I teach my children to wash their hands when they eat. Certainly you want to have them have clean clothes when you go out. Is this idea of just personal hygiene here, of washing your clothes? Everybody's got to wash their clothes. Why do you wash your clothes in an occasion like this? What's it teaching? You're approaching COVID. Remember what Moses was told to do when he came to burning bush? What was the first thing God told him to do? Take off your shoes because the ground you're standing is holy ground. So what we're going to see from the beginning, over and over, over and over, over and over, you've got to learn about God. You've got to learn about his holiness. You've got to learn how to approach him. Hear what God is saying here. It's not just some random rules to make us firm, to burden us. When it was understood correctly, it was a relationship with God, and these things that were taught ought to change us. Okay, we've already had a bell ring, and I want to finish up next week. This material, Galatians 3 is in the material and a few others, but it looks like our time is about to be gone. And we'll pick up next week talking about the sealing of the covenant with blood. Thank you for your participation this morning.